L'Audi de vos rêves se trouve déjà près de chez vous. Choisissez le modèle qui vous fait rêver et profitez-en immédiatement. Audi s'engage aujourd'hui à vos côtés avec Audi pour vous. Un ensemble d'offres et de services pour vous aider à mieux repartir. En ce moment, jusqu'à 6 mois de loyer vous sont offerts sur une sélection de modèles disponibles en stock. Découvrez l'ensemble de nos engagements Audi pour vous sur audi.fr.
Offre jusqu'à 6 mois de loyer suivant le premier versement offert. Offre LLD à particulier jusqu'au 30 juin 2020 sur 37 mois et 25 000 km par an maximum sur une sélection de véhicules en stock et si acceptation par Volkswagen Bank. Détails sur audi.fr.
This podcast is brought to you in association with Quizlet, the online educational service used by more than 1 million teachers to help students confidently learn and master any subject. Quizlet helps teachers engage their students with interactive study materials, activities, and games that make learning more fun. See how Quizlet can help create more engaged students at quizlet.com. Hello, I'm Gráinne Hallahan, and today's podcast is a double treat for me because not only do I get to be nostalgic and talk about my time before TES when I was an English teacher, but I'm also joined by two other marvellous educators, Matt Pinkett and Lauren Hampshire-Dell. Hi both.
Hi.
Hello.
So it feels wrong to not kick off today's show with a couple of my favourite quiz questions. So something I love catching kids out with quizzes just because, you know, you get to feel like you're more clever than them. And my favourite one is when we're doing Merchant and quizzing them on the line, who says, "Oh, my daughter, are my ducats," in Merchant of Venice, because they invariably get that one wrong.
They think it's Shylock, don't they? They must think it's Shylock.
But it's one of the Sallys. They love it. So they're like, oh, and it's so interesting. Cause it's such an interesting analytical point because he never says it. And it's that whispery, gossipy thing about Shylock. And my other favourite one is, who is the merchant in The Merchant of Venice?
Oh, because that's a good question.
Again, they were like, Shylock. It's like, oh, no. And it's that reframing. Like, we, as a modern audience, read it. And to him, he is what the whole play is about. But actually, it's Antonio. So
they're good questions.
Those are my favourite quiz questions.
I'm going to log those ones away.
That's a sign of a short English geek, no? Like when you've got a favourite quiz question.
And it's a Merchant of Venice one.
I think I've got one, a favourite Shakespeare one. What does wherefore mean? Kids always, that is such a good one. Kids always say where.
They get it wrong. All my favourite ones are just Jekyll and Hyde because they just end up so baffled about who is Jekyll, who is Hyde. Are they same man? What's going on? And then you just realise they've not heard anything for the last 6 weeks. Big confidence beast.
I think a lot of the time you assume that kids know what the sort of basic things that we know.
Yeah.
But we only know those things because somebody once told us. We didn't work it out.
Absolutely.
On our own.
Yeah, it hasn't appeared in your brain by magic. Someone's taught you.
But there are those times where you have taught it 100 times and they still get it wrong every time.
Yeah.
Can you think of something? Can you think of a question?
So, you know, in Follower, the poem.
The poem.
Yeah.
And he talks about the sod.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like little sod miss, like naughty kids. Like, no!
It's a whole agriculture poem.
It's the whole lesson on heeding his childhood. Like, no, why? Why? That cracks me up. So often it's vocab for those sort of things. We've talked about this, plop on the board, our pictures, and then it's impossible to remember everything.
I think poetry does it more than anything, though, doesn't it? Like trying to teach the prelude and trying to say, like, lustily dipped oars and...
Yeah.
That's the end of your lesson, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they can't get past any idea about the sublime. They're like, who wants to have sex with a mountain? You're like...
And the thing is, what you find is when a lesson... So I've had whole lessons that I've planned... just be destroyed because I thought, oh, I'll be really clever and I'll just quickly quiz them at the beginning.
Yeah.
And they get, you know, something wrong.
I've got
to teach that again.
Yeah. It just stops.
And you think in your head, you're thinking, well, what did I do wrong last time?
Write
the title, and then you're in your head, you're flipping out. I've got to think of a new lesson.
We've got to stop immediately.
And this is the thing, like, unless you do recap, unless you do integrate retrieval practice into your lessons, then you're not going to realise what in previous lessons you've
not mistaught, but they've not...
Yeah, you need to know where those gaps are.
Yeah, I think it's good, isn't it? I mean, quizzing, it isn't just about the kids. So, you know, if they're still getting iambic pentameter wrong, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and my quiz questions are identifying, then I've got to reflect on what
Why?
I've done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's
and
important.
What works with one class won't work with the next class.
No, absolutely.
And it's not always... something that's down to you. It could have just been that on that could have just been on that day there was a fire alarm right before mm-hmm. your lesson, and that's why that's what they remember from that day.
Yeah, they call those not... desirable difficulties. Don't
they? I would agree with that. Yeah.
So we've got no coursework anymore. It is just
gone.
Exams.
Dead.
Retrieval practice is more important than ever before.
Yeah.
Mm. What is the best? You said about starting your lessons with. Doing recap mm-hmm. questions. Is that the best point of the lesson, do you think, to do it? Or
I do it as a matter of routine. It sounds kind of, I do it similarly to Matt. It would just be the first thing that they do when they come in for 2 years. Just keep it going all the time.
Yeah, I do. They come in, I say, right, back of your books, and they know back of the books is short answer questions.
So thinking about a key stage for year 10 class, what do you start with then? So if you're doing your recap questions in September... What would you say if you? What are you going to do with your year 10s this September? What are you going to be recapping on? Or do you just teach for the first couple of weeks and then start recapping?
I think that depends how your curriculum's planned, doesn't it? Because I've come from a place that it wasn't interleaved. So the last thing they learnt was Shakespeare, but the first thing they'll do in September is Jekyll.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, that seems like there's no commonality at all. Mm-hmm. So I think I'd probably teach a week and then start quizzing, or maybe recap language and structure devices, which is a core for everything, isn't it? But it's hard to know. I think those first 2 weeks, you think, when do I start quizzing? And that can be quite hard to know when the right moment is to introduce it to them.
I think also you can make, when you've got, say, a new class, say year 10, you can make, if you've been doing it long enough, you can make assumptions about what they should know about something you're coming to study, right? So if you're going to kick off with Macbeth, then they should know who William Shakespeare
was. Exactly. There should be some.
So I think you do build up a kind of a bank of quiz questions, don't you?
Just general things that they can come in at, which I think is good for confidence in year 10 as well, isn't
it? Yeah.
They come in so shaken, they've been told by year 11 how horrendous the course is, and so they're coming and going, oh my gosh, I can't do that. And actually, a little quiz just shows them, this isn't anything you can't do.
I think in an ideal world, you know, the curriculum is so carefully structured that you get a class in year 10 and you can look back at what they've done in year 9.
Yeah.
You know what they've done in year 9, whether you taught them or not, and you know, right, well, this is what we're doing.
That would be a dream.
But, you know, that's perhaps not as easily done as it is easily said.
And something that I think we've probably all of us heard a kid say to us before is, I didn't think I needed that anymore.
Yep.
Did we need to remember that, miss?
Yep.
And... like that forgetting curve, which is a beaut of a graph.
Yeah.
What a graph.
Come on, guys. That's gorgeous.
I've forgotten what it looks like.
It's that, like, this, look. And this. That's just for the benefit of the podcast. We're just looping our hands in the air at the moment.
Helping Matt at all.
Got it.
But where does that fit into our classroom practice? So is it, it's impossible to recap everything. So how do you decide what to recap?
I think, for me, you can't go any further than Andy Farby's memory platform.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
That was on my list to mention.
Love him.
Yeah, so they get in, they have, one question on what you learned last week, last month, last term, last year.
Okay.
That is so...
It's so good.
And, you know, you can deviate from that, but just once you've... read the blog and you've got that in your head, that is still, I think, probably the most useful tool I've got.
So that's in the classroom. What about setting quizzes for homework? Is that productive?
I think so. I think, especially based off of the quiz that you might have done in lesson beforehand, it just guides their revision. They realise really quickly, I don't know anything about X, so maybe they don't understand the role of Utterson or something, so they've got to go and revise a really specific thing rather than them sitting and looking at their English books. Kind of confused about what they're supposed to do.
This is where multiple choice quizzes are so
really
useful.
Yeah, really good.
But writing them's a bloody art.
Oh my gosh.
Flipping hell, yeah. And you think you've... So can I tell you my favourite multiple choice quiz question?
Yes, we're here for
it's so dull, but it's which of these words can be used as both a noun and a verb.
Okay.
All right, and so you'll have A, B, C, D, and I'll have anger, table, think, and computer or something. And I think this is the thing with grammar. People say, oh, it's black and white grammar.
Yeah.
It ain't black and white. There are grey areas. And I think, oh, I've got those. And then, yeah, so one of my answers was table, and I thought, well, that's a wrong answer. A table can only be a noun. And then the kid went, oh, no, you can table emotion,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, oh, yeah, you're smart. Yeah.
That was a trick, and you passed. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, they are really, they're really time-consuming to write. But when you, this is so nerdy. I hope no one off fancies listening to this, but I When you've done a good multiple choice question, that feels good, doesn't it?
It's true. It is true.
Daisy Christodoulou has done a brilliant talk about multiple choice questions. And I'm in awe of the ability to write a decent...
Yeah, well, it's really the famous example she gives, isn't it, is that one about Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin. It was like, how did Russia's defence plan differ from that of Stalin and Hitler? And so what the kid's there is like, well, what's a defence plan? What's that?
What was
Stalin doing? What was Mussolini doing?
Skills in that one thing, isn't there? Yeah.
Well, that was my favourite question, the verb noun one, because it requires knowledge of verbs, nouns, but also the quite difficult concept, I think, that actually words can be more than one type of word class. So that's... I think that's important, isn't it?
I've tried things like writing analytical points that are incorrect and correct and getting to spot which ones.
So like the skills, you mean?
No, like I think the one I'm thinking of is Christmas Carol, and it makes points about the ribbons. And I've made an incorrect analysis. I've done incorrect analysis, like saying something ridiculous, like what it might suggest or imply.
Yeah.
The ribbons symbolise like rainbows or something silly, but I've written it really seriously.
Yeah.
And asked them to read each one and pick which one's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still torn as to whether or not that's a good strategy.
That's tough for some kids because they're either looking for the right answer.
Mm.
Or that interpretation skill is really tricky there because some of our kids do find our subject so fluffy, don't they?
Yeah.
And so abstract that they might look at that and think, maybe it's about rainbows.
And you need to tell them straight away it's not, because otherwise they'll remember the wrong one.
I think this is where the phrase, which of these best?
Yeah.
Which of these is the best answer?
Absolutely.
And again, you could say, well, that's arbitrary, but again, I'm talking about Andy again, Andy Tharby, but I recall a blog post he wrote about, actually in English, we can teach kids what to think. And the example he gave was the inspector, you know, So, you know, you hear, oh, the inspector is the ghostly fetus turned... Have you not heard that? I've had that. He's the ghostly fetus of Eva's baby, and he's returned as a man. Now, that's just wrong, right? But the kids are like, oh, no, this teacher told us that's just wrong. And so Andy does this. He actually teaches the kids, this is what who the inspector is. He's J.B. Priestley's mouthpiece.
Yeah.
You can legitimately argue that he's an avenging... representative of social justice, whatever.
Yeah.
And so you can teach kids, can't you? These are good, legitimate theories.
Which is where quizzing's helpful, isn't it? Because that's really explicit. What you've just said is really explicit. And I think they think we're looking for one of those nonsense ones like you just said. They're like, I'm going to impress my English teacher with this. And we're like, what is that? But actually, what you do with those kind of points that you just said that Andy does as well, it just clears the waffle, doesn't it?
And so you're quizzing to say...
So straightforward.
I want you to argue these things that I've told you about. And there are some things that are just wrong.
I agree with that. Yeah. I absolutely agree. And that's, I think, a lot of students that aren't great at English say they're better at maths and science, don't they?
Mm.
Because there's a right and wrong answer. That's what I hear so often. Oh, I can't do this. I prefer... Because but actually, there's right and wrong in ours as well. You can't just say whatever you want about a book, and that's okay.
As long as you can back it up. No. Not backing up with stuff that's wrong. on the topic of wrong, other things that I've done in quizzing that was wrong, making the kids cry.
What?
Inadvertently. Like, we're going to do a quiz today. And then bursting into tears.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, it's fine. Like, this doesn't count towards anything. I'm not even going to write down your... Like, how do you make it low stakes?
It's weird that you say that, because... Why are they crying? Because you've done the tried and tested technique of not calling it a test, but changing it to quiz.
I know, right?
Everybody loves quizzes.
To be fair, by the end of the year, they're normally like chilled out about
it. Yeah, they don't care, do they?
I find the most stressed year seven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you know what?
I'm
straight up with mine right from the start. I'm interested in this sort of stuff, and I'll tell kids why I do it.
Yeah.
But the great piece of research on this says that they don't even have to have feedback on the quiz for it to have a positive impact. Yeah. So I'll explain to them what low stakes means. I'll say low stakes means I'm not going to mark it.
No.
I said you can cheat if you want. Right? But I'm not looking at it. Right? I'm not giving out Blue Peter badges or tin hats for people, for people to get 10 out of 10. Mm. There's a science behind it. And when you explain the science to the kids, I think they become invested in the process.
And reassured.
Yeah, I
and
think reassured, that's the comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you're not doing anything scary, it's not going home, no one's going to see it, it's all right.
Yeah. You've got to have a trusting relationship with your class for them to buy into
to
that.
Go with it, yeah.
But I think the process of explaining what you're doing and why you're doing it, I think that's...
Open. Yeah.
I think that's the trust-building process, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's saying, like, I'm crediting you with a bit of intelligence here, this is something I do in my lessons, and... Like, it's going to make you smarter. And you still get the kid that cheats, but then you just go, oh, draw a medal. You know? And in my experience, everyone else in the class is like, you know, that doesn't utilise retrieval.
They're grassing him up and telling him.
Yeah.
I love that, though, grassing up through, like, cognitive.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, no, but it's true, though. I think that low stakes thing is... like the most important thing to embed in them, actually. Mm. And I've made like the most amazing spreadsheet. I'm so proud of it. With my year 10/11 boys that have just gone through, because they wanted to see how they were doing.
Yeah.
So they just get green or red, like if they got all right or all wrong.
Okay.
And then they just started kind of getting invested in being able to see it, which is weird because there wasn't no prizes, no sweets, no stickers, nothing. I think I just liked seeing it, like it meant something. It wasn't just a pointless activity that I couldn't be bothered to do anything for. And maybe I should do what Matt does and just really explicitly
explain the
process, which I think is really important.
I've sometimes used quizzes before we do an assessment to try and work out what I need to to check understanding before we do the assessment, and I worry that's sometimes too high stakes, but I try and emphasize to them it's to check my teaching, is not to check like
your abilities.
I'm not checking up on them. This isn't going. And if you're in a school where both kids are streamed, then I think that's when it's more difficult to emphasise this is low stakes because there's the constant threat of moving.
Set thing becomes so personal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think with this high stakes thing, if your kids are seeing these as high stakes, you are doing it wrong. Because the research again shows that if it's high stakes, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Simple as
it's
that.
Your delivery, you're responsible
and so,
for that atmosphere.
I think it's very easy, you know, kids are getting upset. Oh, bless them. You know, like they're feeling the pressure. But actually, you've got to be like really honest with yourself and say, well, why have I made kids feel, you know, I'm doing it wrong? It's not that they're feeling pressured. What are they called nowadays? Snowflakes. You know.
But there is the P word. As the parents.
Yeah.
And when parents really care and want to know how they're doing, if the kids are going home and saying, we're going to have a quiz on this, we're doing quizzes on this. What did you get? What did you get in that? And then you get the phone calls. They told me that they're getting... Or they're getting 4 marks on all the quizzes. Why aren't you moving them up? It's like, if English was judged on a quiz, then GCSEs would be much easier to mark. It's not quite... doesn't quite work like that.
Don't get me started on this.
So maybe
that is
tough. But the other part of that is to make sure the parents also understand.
Of course, yeah.
What's happening, yeah.
How we use quizzes, and it's not the be-all and end-all.
That's where routine's helpful, though, isn't it? If you do it at the start of every lesson, they don't care after a bit. They're like, oh, I'm just going to English, there'll be a quiz. Like, they stop seeing it so high stake as well, don't they? That's because a lot of, you know, it's that thing that you get taught when you're teacher training that you should embed a thing, don't just try it for a lesson.
Yeah.
Actually, that's quite hard because, especially quizzy, you've got to think of the questions and build the banks of them and whatever. people don't always have time to, or they forget to do one day, but I've found you need to do it every lesson, every day. And it just takes out the sting. They just get bored in a way, which is kind of good.
Definitely found my life became easier when I started writing them down on the computer rather than scraps of bits of paper and thinking I'll type that up later and then never did. is there some stuff that is just unquizzable?
Yeah, I think so. Like things like concepts, like really high tier concepts. If you're thinking about something through a Marxist perspective or, you know, a feminist perspective, I think that's going to be tough to prove that they've actually understood it.
Could you not say something like, again, the multiple choice quiz?
Yeah, that's where they'd probably be good.
Which of these four statements would a Marxist be most likely to...
I think that's,
But that's hard. I mean, that's brilliant in theory, but...
It would take so much time to plan.
You sound very organised. I mean, I'm not. They come in, I'm like, right, what did I do yesterday? I'll ask them a bit of that. I know last year I taught them something. I'm sure I did. I'll ask them about that. But yeah, unquizzable stuff. Like what? Grammar?
Grammar's tough.
Because they might get it right in the quiz, and this is what I normally find. Smash the quiz.
Oh, yeah,
I'm like, yes, I'm the best teacher.
You know what
in the
a comma splice is? Brilliant,
they
brilliant.
Have done well done. And then they hand an essay in or an extended piece of writing, and then I weep because
there's one full stop. Yeah.
You know what a full stop is? Brilliant. That's good. The quiz has shown. The quiz has absolutely shown.
Proud of you.
That you know what a full stop is and when to use one. Brilliant.
But
let's have a look at your essay.
Okay. What I really want you to say now is you're being too hard on yourself, Gronya. Actually, know that you can. It's not always.
I think that kind of, it's a little bit of a flashback to sort of stats, isn't it? Because they're used to being tested on like very
really
minor
micro,
specific things, which doesn't look anything like it does in an essay. No. So I think that's not our fault that it's not effectively quizzed.
Yeah. I love giving the stats paper to kids. Do you do that?
They are so difficult. I gave it to my A-level class and they were... They
in my last lesson, that's my fun,
thing.
You know, at the end of every year.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, can we do a fun lesson?
You're like, yes.
I'm like, yes, we are doing all 50 questions. Honestly, I'm not joking. Ask anybody I've worked with. I do that. Yeah.
No movies in your classroom then?
You're a mean man.
No.
You're going to do the SAT paper.
Yeah, I'm going a little bit off topic here, but did you see on Twitter about the person that took the screenshot of the 21st Century Fox logo?
No.
So my kids always ask me to watch a film, and so what I did was I went on Google Images and just search 21st Century Fox logo. I put it on a...
Like the starting screen?
Yeah, the starting screen.
On the PowerPoint.
I put it on the PowerPoint.
No! Then you put it on the board and froze it.
I got the kids... I froze it. I got all the kids in. And
that is cruel.
They were. I made a big thing of it. I was like, sit next to who you want today. I said, close all the blinds. I got the monitor to close every single blind. I said, right, but turn off the lights. The kids were so excited. And then when I just pressed the keyboard and it just went to the next slide, which was... Time for the year 6 grammar quiz.
You are mean.
Oh, it was so good. I still feel bad. I don't feel bad about
it. No, you don't.
Nah, that was good. Yeah, you should try that.
Oh, I do worry that one day you're going to be in a care home, Matt.
I know.
These children.
It's him.
He's there. Get him.
They'll be promising you a nice game of bingo and it'll be the year 6 SAT test.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
I enjoyed
that.
Thank
you. That was very easy. Not scary.
Not a scary quiz at all.
No, it was an easy quiz.
And I hope you'll come back another time soon.
Thank you very much.
Do it.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you in association with Quizlet, the online educational service used by more than 1 million teachers to help students confidently learn and master any subject. Quizlet helps teachers engage their students with interactive study materials, activities, and games that make learning more fun. See how Quizlet can help create more engaged students at quizlet.com.